Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast. Point of View.
Discussing the world around you.
On the street.
On the air.
And at kaya959.co.za.
So obviously departments have been delivering their budget speeches to obviously the different department and houses in Parliament. Obviously we're trying to get to the nitty-gritties of what each department wants to do with money allocated to them. Today we're going to be speaking to the Minister of Transport, Minister Barbara Creasy, who is on the line with us just to outline some of the things that she thinks are important and what it is that they wish to do with the budget and the money that's been allocated to them. And Minister Barbara Creasy, I really want to thank you for making time for us. Welcome to Point of View and good evening.
Thank you very much. Good evening and greetings to all your listeners.
It was, I mean, when I listened to your speech, I got the sense that we have a concrete plan. And yes, you know, some of the issues that come up, like the printing machine and those things, are looking like they're going to take some time. But there are some good things that are happening. Transnet is moving ahead with the plan of getting those rail, you know, networks up and running. And it seems to me like you continue on that vein of fixing our rail system.
Yes, I think that over the past year, there are encouraging green shoots in the Transnet system. We've managed to increase the amount of freight that the Transnet network is carrying by about 9 million tons. We've also seen improvements in the handling of freight at our ports, with an increase in 48,000 units in the last financial year over previous years. And of course, our pride and joy is the improvements that we are making to rehabilitate Prasa's passenger rail network. And we now have 35 out of 40 passenger lines that have been restored. And in this budget, we are very pleased that we've been allocated substantial amounts of money to replace signalling. So obviously commuters are pleased that lines have been opened, but they would like to see many more trains operating, particularly at peak hour. We can only do that once we've completed signalling. Mm. At the moment, we are having to use what we call manual signalling. Mm-hmm. So when train drivers reach intersections, they have to call into the control room to find out whether they can cross. Mm-hmm. So that they don't create an accident. And that means that we can only be running one train or two trains an hour. Whereas at rush hour, we need to be running a train every 5 or 10 minutes. Mm.
Is it 65 billion, did you say, over the medium term for Prasa to deal with that exactly?
Yes, it's. I think it's 64 billion. I think round about there over 3 years, that will over a period of 3 years restore the signalling on our priority lines. Mm.
You make the point that, you know, obviously with the economy being what it is and us trying very hard to inject some sort of energy into this economy, trying to get the railway going is one such step, especially for not just goods, but for commuters as well, particularly those who you know, need a reliable, you know, I wouldn't say cheap, but I mean affordable kind of mode of transport to get this economy going.
Yes, I mean, one of the very sad statistics, well, in fact, there are two sad statistics that we can look at. The one is that since the COVID pandemic, we're finding that 20% of commuters are walking to work.
Sure.
Now, one would like to believe that that's a health craze, but sure, it's not a health craze. It's reflective of the fact that many people in lower income categories can't afford transport that is available. The other sad statistic is the one that says that a Vietnamese worker and a South African worker who earn the same amount of money, the Vietnamese worker is taking home 10 times more than the South African worker. And the reason is because what South African workers are having to spend on commuting to work. So restoring the price line is very important. It is cheap. At the moment, you're paying R7.50, and other forms of transport would be costing you somewhere between R30 and R40 for a one-way trip.
I alluded to the driver's license card machine just in my intro there, and I know that there are issues. I know that there's an investigation, I believe, into the one tender that was supposed to be, I think giving us a second machine. Maybe just take us through where you are at the moment with that.
So there was a plan to purchase a new machine using new digital technology and a microchip. That procurement process was found to be irregular by the Auditor General. And because you can't spend on an irregular procurement process, we've had to take that to court on self-review. In the meantime, our old machine is doing a sterling job. We've got it fixed. We've managed to print about 500,000 cards since the beginning of May. But obviously, as we wipe out the backlog, so we have other licenses that expire, and we still have 600,000 licenses that we need to print. So we are in discussion with Home Affairs, the government printer there, and we've asked whether they can help us to print the old card. They've indicated that they can. So we are waiting for them to give us a prototype. Once we have that prototype, we will take it to state security. And then what we will do is we will start to have additional printing of the old card.
You've spoken about money that has been allocated to fixing roads, and I think this many South Africans will say, yes, we want to talk about that. But you've also, taken charge of other roads in the province where provinces themselves could not do the work. I mean, how confident are you with some of the budget allocated to provinces themselves that, things will get going eventually and our roads will get better?
Well, first of all, let me say that SANRAL has taken over 3,000 kilometers from our provinces at the request of provincial premiers. And obviously, these are feeder roads onto our national highways, and it's very important that they should be in good condition. But, of course, we are deeply concerned about other roads that remain under provincial government authority and also municipal roads that are not being well maintained. I think the complaints citizens have about potholes are legendary. We give conditional grants to provinces to fix provincial roads. So all these roads that say are this, are that, those are provincial roads. We've set aside 94 million in our own budget. And the reason we've done that is we want to make sure that we are employing road engineers and other specialists so that we can ensure that provinces are spending the money that they have efficiently and effectively. And we can also help them where necessary with procurement processes they would want to put out, and also advice on how to upgrade roads. What we are equally concerned about is the amount of money that is being returned to National Treasury by local governments. The Minister of Finance is on record over the past week saying that 4.5 billion rand of money that was allocated for municipal roads has been returned to National Treasury.
Yeah.
Now, municipalities are given something called the Municipal Infrastructure Grant. Mm-hmm. 17% of that grant is intended for road maintenance. Now, if you have a situation where billions are being returned to National Treasury, then you know it's not being spent by municipalities on road maintenance. Mm-hmm. We formed a working group with SALGA, the umbrella body for municipalities. What we're doing is that we're working with them to say, can they conduct oversight? What is happening with this 17%? Is it being spent on road maintenance? Is it going back? We are asking our provincial counterparts. I spoke last week in the National Council of Provinces, and I was before the Select Committee of the National Council of Provinces yesterday, and really hammering home the message that we must be making sure that provinces are conducting oversight on municipalities to make sure that money is being spent on what it's intended for.
Yeah, so there will be you'll have a mechanism of sort to sort of ring fence the funds?
Well, there isn't a ring fencing mechanism at the moment, but I think that if we are watching the money and we are encouraging municipal and provincial governments to also watch the money.
Yeah.
In my experience, that tends to ensure that you have better spending outcomes.
Yeah. Minister, I think there's a question here from Ofense in Lynnwood on the line for us. Ofense, good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thank you. I'd just like to ask the minister about what are they doing about the corruption that's happening at the driver's license departments, because and you go for your test and you're expected to pay a certain jojo for you to pass. And I think there were plans before to digitize, I think, or bring in these machines that are actually going to conduct the test. And obviously, that will give you a fair shot at passing or failing. So what's the latest with that? And can also the minister give an update on the lighting situation? When you drive around in this country, you drive around in the dark, like the lights are not working, the street lights, I mean. So if you can also give an update on that, because it's quite shocking how bad it is actually driving at night.
Minister Creasy?
So what I can say about the driver's license testing centres that fall under the purview of provincial governments and municipal governments is there has been a very big SIU investigation into those testing centres. There have been several arrests that have taken place. And where we receive credible information of corruption, we pass that over to the SIU, and we have periodically done extensions in the scope of the work that they have been doing, because we think that they've been doing a good job in some provinces in rooting out corruption. So I think that I think it can't be a situation where you suspect that's what's going on. There needs to be proof. But where you have that proof, it's something that we can pass over to the SIU. Streetlights, it's part of management of cities. Mm. And I'm not 100% sure as to whether streetlights fall under the road maintenance budget or whether it falls under
safety,
other budgets at municipal level. Mm. But I think that this is indeed part of the problem that I was explaining earlier, and it's part of the reason why we formed this working group with SALGA to have better oversight on what's going on around the management of roads and bridges in our cities.
Minister, would love to host you in studio one of these days to have a much longer conversation. I really appreciate you talking to us this evening, and thank you so much for your time.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Transport Minister Barbara Creasy.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.